The following is a Sunday feast lecture on the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 8, text number 5, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on September 13th, 2009, in Copenhagen, Denmark.
So, tonight we are reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter number 8, text number 5. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Antakale chamam eva
smaran muktva kalevaram
ya prayati samadbhavam
yati nashyatra sanshayah.
Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. And whoever, at the end of his life, quits his body remembering me alone, at once attains my nature. Of this there is no doubt. Purport. In this verse, the importance of Krishna consciousness is stressed. Anyone who quits his body in Krishna consciousness is at once transferred to the transcendental nature of the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord is the purest of the pure. Therefore, one who is constantly Krishna conscious is also the purest of the pure. The word smaran, remembering, is important. Remembrance of Krishna is not possible for the impure soul who has not practiced Krishna consciousness in devotional service. Therefore, one should practice Krishna consciousness from the very beginning of life. If one wants to achieve success at the end of his life, the process of remembering Krishna is essential. Therefore, one should constantly, incessantly chant the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Lord Chaitanya has advised that one be as tolerant as a tree, toror eva sahishnuna. There may be so many impediments for a person who is chanting Hare Krishna. Nonetheless, tolerating all these impediments, one should continue to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So that at the end of one's life, one can have the full benefit of Krishna consciousness.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Parakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha. Shri Rupa Sagra Jata Agana Raguna Tanvita Tam Sajiva. Sadaita Savaduta Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva. Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha.
So, we are called the International Society for Krishna Consciousness because we are cultivating Krishna consciousness. And this verse explains why we are cultivating Krishna consciousness. We have a scientific reason for cultivating Krishna consciousness. Because right now we are in a temporary position in this material body. And when this body is finished, the self will not be finished. The self will continue to live. And where the self goes at the time of passing out of this body is determined by one's consciousness at the final moment of one's life. What is your mind hankering for at that moment when you pass out of your body? That's where you'll go. God is very kind. Whatever you're inclined for, that's where He will give you, you see. Now, in this material existence, the primary mood of this world is sense gratification. I think I'm my body, and I think my happiness is to gratify the senses of this body, you see. So, if I'm oriented towards material sense gratification, and at the time of death I'm thinking about material sense gratification, then I will get another material body, so I can continue to engage in material sense gratification. And on the other hand, if I'm thinking I simply want to serve God, to revive my lost loving relationship with the Supreme Person, which is a happiness which is millions and billions of times greater than any amount of sense gratification, then I will attain His abode. So, even if I believe in God, you see, that's very good. But if I'm not oriented towards serving God, I'm still oriented towards sense gratification, then that God that I believe in will give me another material body. You get whatever you're inclined for, you see, whatever your taste is. If I have a taste for sense gratification, God will give me a place where I can satisfy that taste. So in this Krishna consciousness movement, we cultivate the tastes that are tasted by those persons who are eternally liberated souls living in the kingdom of God. You see, that is our program. We absorb ourselves in hearing and chanting the glories of God 24 hours a day and serving God, you see. Those things which are relished as unlimitedly tasteful by the inhabitants of the kingdom of God, we practice those here from morning until, from before sunrise until after sunset, 24 hours a day. And we train our members who are living outside how to turn their home also into an ashram, where they can cultivate Krishna consciousness in their own home 24/7. If one can actually develop that taste for Krishna consciousness, then one is more inclined towards Krishna consciousness than one is towards sense gratification. Then one is guaranteed entrance into the kingdom of God, you see. If you've lost your taste for sense gratification and you're simply eager for Krishna consciousness, you see. Most people would say, well, that's, I like my sense gratification. I don't want to give it up, I like it. Well, of course, we don't, a devotee also has his sense gratification, but he has it in a way which pleases Krishna. We eat the best food. See, we offer to Krishna. See, we have the best music, actually. This is better than the Beatles. We have the best music, you see. Even George was hankering for kirtan. He would invite the devotees to his house and he would have kirtan for 3 hours and then take prasadam and then 3 more hours of kirtan. You see. So this kirtan, there's nothing like the taste of this kirtan. It's pure, you see, it's completely pure. You can dive into it. There's an unlimited ocean of nectar in this kirtan. So if you want to enjoy music, then join in this kirtan. Go deep, deep, deep into this ocean of kirtan. Kirtan ras, you see. The taste of kirtan. As Prabhupada said, is the only safe position within this material world. Go deep into this kirtan. You see. And when you're tired of singing, then you can have some prasadam. So in this way, devotees also, their senses are very gratified. But they're even better gratified because they're gratified in a way which is pleasing to Krishna. So it's not that the devotees' senses are unsatisfied, no. Devotees' senses are also satisfied. But not in a selfish, greedy way, which is separate from God, you see. In a way which is in harmony with God. A way which pleases God. So in this way, the devotee, even while he's satisfying his senses, you see, he's developing a taste for satisfying God. In the ultimate end, these senses are useless. When your body is on the deathbed, you can't eat anymore. There's no question of eating. Sex life, there's no question of sex life. You see, how you can enjoy the senses when you're on your deathbed? You see, there's no enjoyment. But what you can enjoy is that devotion to the Supreme Person. See, that you can relish. Fully surrendering your heart, your mind, everything, your very self to that Supreme Person. My dear Lord, I am simply your eternal servant. You please guide me, that's all, how I can serve you. I am yours, you take me wherever you want to take me. I belong to you. Do with me as you like in your service. That mood of complete submission under the Supreme Person is the supreme peace, paramam nirvanam. It is the topmost level of happiness, peace and happiness. Bhaktaram jagatapasam sarvaloka maheshvaram suhridam sarvabhutanam gyatvamam shuntum richati. Only unto those persons who understand Krishna as the supreme enjoyer, the supreme owner and the supreme friend, only they can have true peace, you see. So, cultivate Krishna consciousness, wherever your position. Whatever your position is in society, whatever your age, whatever your cultural background is, it doesn't matter. This cuts through all cultural distinctions. Everyone, cultivate this Krishna consciousness. And you will relish the sweetest happiness now, and that happiness will become sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. And then upon leaving your body, you will achieve the association of the Supreme Person in His transcendental kingdom. That is our promise, our guarantee. You will attain it. So I can ask now if there's any questions. Yeah.
What is the best way to prepare ourselves for remembering Krishna when we leave our body?
The best way to prepare yourself is daily practice. In other words, do you know when you will die? Could it be today? It could be, yeah. We have to admit it's so uncertain nowadays, especially in the modern society. Traffic accident, terrorist attacks, heart attacks. You never know. Formerly, in the Vedic times, people lived a norm. Everyone lived a normal lifespan. But in this Kali Yuga, you don't know at any time. Death can come. It's such an irregular age. You see, formerly, nature was, everything was going on in a very balanced way. Now, it's a very topsy-turvy situation. So we can die at any time. So the best thing is prepare yourself every day as if every day, chant Hare Krishna on japa mala beads in the morning hours. Every morning, chant very nicely Hare Krishna. Just in case today is your last day, you'll be ready. Because you focus your mind on Krishna at the beginning of your day, so you can offer your whole day to Krishna. That's the best way. Chant the holy names in the morning when you get up. Offer your whole day in Krishna's service, whatever you're doing. Whether you're a monk living in a temple, whether you're a householder earning a living, whatever you may be, you see, a student in the university, whatever you're doing, offer that to Krishna. Yat karoshi anashnasi yajdahosi dadasi. So that if death comes, you're in the mood of offering to Krishna. So make every day an offering to Krishna. That's the best thing. Any other questions? Yeah.
How can I understand that what you're saying is right? That at the time of death, what I'm thinking of is good.
What is his question?
How can I believe in what you say that it's mentioned when we leave our body in Krishna consciousness, we will go to Krishna?
How you can believe it?
Yeah.
Well, there's one way you can believe it, and that's you test it. See if it works. It's like if you're a newcomer here in town, you see, and I'm, of course, it's the opposite way around, actually. And I'm a newcomer in Copenhagen, you're an old-timer here. So I don't know my way to the Hare Krishna temple, you see. But I noticed that you have neck beads on, so I ask you, where is it? And you give me some directions, and how do I know that you're legitimate? I mean, you could just be deceiving me. How do I know you're really legitimate? I have a reasonable, because I saw that you have neck beads on, it gives me a reasonable assumption. Well, he must know where the Hare Krishna temple is because he has on neck beads. But how I know that you're not cheating me? You're guiding me somewhere else, you see? Well, by following your directions and going there, then I will see, yes, he actually, his directions were legitimate. I actually got to the temple. So how will you know that my directions are legitimate? The only way you can absolutely know for sure is follow my directions. That's the only way you can absolutely know for sure. If you just speculate, well, I think he's right or I think he's wrong, that's mental speculation. But if you actually follow the instructions given and you experience transcendental Krishna consciousness, you see, then you know it's real. Because you don't, in Krishna consciousness, you don't have to wait for the time of death. One can enter into that spiritual world even while one is within one's present body. When you become fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness, you can associate with Krishna at every single minute, even right here in this material existence. Yomang pashyati sarvatra sarvam chamai pashyati tashahang na pranashami satchamena pranashyati. Bhagavad Gita chapter 6, text number 30. For one who sees me in everything and sees everything in me, Krishna says, I am never lost, nor is he ever lost to me. So you can experience transcendental Krishna consciousness, enlightened transcendental Krishna consciousness, even right here while you're still in your present body. You see, you don't have to wait for the time of death. Prabhupada told us, when he was giving an initiation in Los Angeles, he said, deathlessness begins from the moment of initiation. So, you one may ask, well, how do I know there's such a thing as immortality? Actually, if you take this process seriously, you will experience immortality. You will taste it. Even within your present body. It's not something that can be empirically measured because it's beyond time and space. But you can have tangible, practical experience of immortality simply by awakening your Krishna consciousness. The scientists will never be able to measure it by their empirical methods. But if you will take this process in all anyone who will take this process in all seriousness, they will experience immortality. In their present body, they will experience it. Any other questions? Yes.
Many people nowadays start to argue ISKCON or Hare Krishna is just another of these sects like everything else. Can you maybe explain the difference of a bona fide, authorized guru in comparison to what you call bogus guru?
The absolute truth is not the exclusive property of any group or organization. That's a fact. Absolute truth is absolute truth. Anyone who is purely presenting the absolute truth is a bona fide spiritual master. That's a fact. So we never make a blanket judgment against anyone. But we simply give you the yardstick by which you can measure. Is he presenting the absolute truth? If he is, he's bona fide. If he's not, he's not. That's all. The absolute truth is revealed by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. You see. So anyone who's presenting Bhagavad Gita as Krishna is speaking it, he's a bona fide spiritual master. We don't say they have to be ISKCON. But my experience is I haven't found anyone outside of ISKCON who is giving what Prabhupada is giving into the level of perfection that Prabhupada is giving it. Therefore, I just spend my time here within ISKCON. But I'm certainly not sectarian. I can take instruction from anyone who is giving the highest truth. But I don't see that anyone outside of ISKCON is giving what Prabhupada is giving. Therefore, I don't waste my time. Prabhupada is from my experience, Prabhupada is the preeminent acharya of the modern age. There's no spiritual master who is giving as perfectly as he is the science of self-realization. So I have no need to go elsewhere. But we don't say they are not presenting. Everyone is giving some degree. You see, everyone is giving some degree of the absolute truth. But Prabhupada is giving it in full. Therefore I stick here. Christian preacher, he is also saying God is great. The Islamic, what do they call them? Imam. Yeah, the Imams are also saying God is great. You see? So that's very good. We appreciate how the Muslims are bowing down 5 times a day to Allah. I've seen even in the airport, they have no embarrassment. Even in the airport, they get down on the floor in the airport and say their prayers to Allah. So that's very nice. Prabhupada appreciated it. So we appreciate the God consciousness of everyone. But where is that science being given perfectly, you see? That we find in Prabhupada's books. I don't find anyone else giving as perfectly as Srila Prabhupada is giving this science. Therefore, I just stick with Prabhupada's book. Yes.
you said in your discourse, Maharaji, that we should try to be in Krishna consciousness or remember Krishna all the 24
yes.
hours of the day.
That's right.
But people who have a family, who have work,
yes.
and you are in contact with materialistic world every day,
right.
it is very difficult to be in contact with Krishna
yes.
24 hours of the day.
Therefore, you need to chant 16 quality rounds of japa before you leave for the office every day. That will surcharge you, you see. Are you chanting 16 rounds every day in the morning before you go to work?
No, I don't.
Ah, yeah. You see. That's the thing. If you will have a very strong sadhana in the morning, you go to bed early, don't waste time in the evening, go to bed very early every evening, as early as possible in the evening, and get up and have a strong morning program, you'll be amazed. When you go to that office, you won't see an office anymore. You'll see the energy of Krishna. Of course, you'll still see the office, but you'll see it as the energy of Krishna. You'll see your co-workers as the energy of Krishna. You'll be amazed. You can be Krishna conscious even in work. Rasoham mapsukonteya prabhashmi shashishuryuyo pranava sarva vedeshu shabdake parashang nashu. Do you drink water at your office? You do. How many times? Two or three times a day?
It depends, yeah.
Huh?
It depends. I get three, 4 times.
Yeah. So if every time you drink water, you remember Krishna is the taste of the water, you see. Immediately become Krishna conscious. And do you have a, are you the supervisor or you have a boss over your head?
I have also a boss.
You have a boss. Okay. Is he expert at managing you? Keeping you working your heart? Well, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, I am the ability in man. So you can see your boss's ability to keep you busy as a manifestation of Krishna. So in this way, you see, by becoming, steeping your consciousness in Bhagavad Gita and chanting Hare Krishna, you can see everything in relationship with Krishna. Even your ordinary job, you can see in relationship with Krishna. I am the light of the sun and moon. Do you have windows in your office?
Sorry?
Windows?
Windows, yes, I do.
So you have sunlight coming into your office, right?
When the sun shines, yes.
Huh?
When the sun shines in Denmark.
No, even when the clouds are there, the sunlight is still present. It's not pitch black. So the sunlight is coming either covered by clouds or uncovered. It's still sunlight. So that sunlight is also a manifestation of Krishna. Shashi Shuryayo, he says, I am the light of the sun and moon. Just like in this room, there's a few light bulbs here, but mostly this is sunlight we are seeing in this room. So all this sunlight is hitting the eyeballs, that is Krishna, you see. You have to develop shastric vision, and you have to chant 16 rounds on Japamala in the morning, you see. And then your consciousness will be supercharged with Krishna consciousness. And then you can be, you wouldn't leave your home without charging your mobile phone, would you? So why do you treat your mobile phone with more love than you do your own consciousness? You see? Charge your mobile phone and charge your consciousness also. Give your mobile phone a full charge and your consciousness a full charge. 16 rounds of japa every morning. And then you'll be able to handle, your spiritual batteries will be charged the whole day. You'll be able to handle all of it, you see, without being, without forgetting Krishna. Any other questions? Yes.
If a person has had negative or traumatic experiences in life, is it possible to transform negativity into something positive?
What's his question?
If a person had some negative experience in his life, is it possible to transform these negative feelings into good feelings?
Yes. Actually, we've all had negative experiences. Some have had worse, some have had not as bad. But we all have bad experiences. This material world, Krishna says, is sukha-dukha. It's happiness and distress. So we all have distress. Instead of trying to transform it into mundane happiness, just try to become happy in Krishna consciousness. Because that nullifies all material experiences, both good and bad. Or you could say it transcends all. Don't try to turn it into some positive, mundane experience, but try to make everything transcendental. To see how everything is the mercy of Krishna to help you surrender to Him. You see? If you see it in that way, then there's no such thing as a negative experience. You can look back at your past experience and say, oh, this is very good for me that I went through this. Now this is a great encouragement for me to become Krishna conscious. It's encouraging me to become Krishna. That experience is actually helping me to become Krishna conscious. That's how you should make it all into a positive thing. Yeah.
And what is the formula for this higher taste, what we call it? We often see in the world that, or in the in spiritual practice, that we are trying maybe quite hard, but the results do not come as they are sometimes mentioned. So what is the formula for...
Well, instead of trying to be the enjoyer and trying to taste the enjoyment, try to give enjoyment to Krishna. That's the key. Many people say, well, I'm chanting Hare Krishna, but I'm not tasting the nectar. There's something wrong with this chanting. Well, there's something wrong with you, with something wrong with the chanter, because he is trying to enjoy the holy name. He's taking the holy name as something for his enjoyment. He's not understanding the whole principle of bhakti is to not try, is to give up trying to be the enjoyer and just give enjoyment to Krishna. As soon as you give up trying to be the enjoyer and try to give enjoyment to Krishna, then what is the result? When Krishna truly enjoys your service mood, then you will enjoy equally with God, who is the supreme enjoyer. So the key is don't try to be the enjoyer. Try to give enjoyment to Krishna, and then you will enjoy like anything. That's the key.
Says his father killed his mother. Is that due to karma? And also his father is supposed to be a ghost now. And how can he help him?
Well, if you become a pure devotee, they'll both become delivered. Yeah, it's karma. Your mother must have murdered your father, and now he got her back in a previous life. Now he murdered her in return, you see. It's karma, you know. The one who murders me, I come back and I murder him, then he comes back and murders me, we just go back and forth, lifetime after lifetime, you see. Revenge. But the only way, if you'll become Krishna conscious, then they will both be delivered from their hellish condition. That's a fact. So you become a pure devotee now. Yeah. Yes. Do that. Not try, do it. I don't like this word try. No, you do it. That's it. Do it. Become a pure devotee. Do you try to eat every day?
Yeah, but I have also, I do my best, but I have two child here also, and when you change the nappies, it's not so easy to sing about Krishna.
He says he has two small children, and if you change their diapers, it's not so easy to remember Krishna.
Yes, what?
He has two small children, and then you change the diapers. It is not so easy to remember.
Oh. Why don't you chant when you're changing their diapers? Have them chant some kirtan, sing Hare Krishna while you're changing their diapers. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. That way they'll become Krishna conscious and you will be Krishna conscious. Next question. Our time is... What's the deal on time? Are we supposed to end at 4:30?
You can go on 5, 10
more minutes. 5, 10. All right, 5 or 10 more minutes. Yeah.
How to stay humble in Krishna's service.
Yes. How to stay humble, how to be humble in Krishna's service. Stay humble means you're already humble and you want to remain humble. So, but for some of us, it's not. That's not the question. The question is how to become humble. You see. So the answer to how to become humble and how to remain humble is actually the same answer. Lord Chaitanya has described very nicely. Trinadapi sanichena tororapi sahishnuna amadina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. One should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself lower than the star on the street, being more taller than a tree, offering all respect to others without expecting any respect from oneself. In such a state of mind, one can constantly go on chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, note what Lord Chaitanya said, offer all respect to others without expecting any respect for yourself. See, that will make you humble. Always respect others. Even if they don't respect you, you should respect them. That will make you humble. If you're already humble, as you asked, how can I stay humble? Then, the same thing. Be always respectful to others. But even if they disrespect you, be very respectful to them. Next question. Yes.
I want to know what Krishna was surprised with the Ivana. Want to say the Ivana is contaminated in this material world, and same time is perfect. I don't know what's perfect, you have a mistake. In same time is contaminating it. How can you do that?
Can you repeat?
How can Krishna be surprised if he already knows everything? That's an interesting question. Actually, Krishna doesn't ever know everything. That's a fact. Vedaham samati tani vartamana nicharjana mavishchani tabutani mantu veda nakashchana. O Arjuna, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, I know everything that has happened in the past, all things that are happening at the present, and everything that's going to be happening in the future. I also know all living entities but me, no one knows. So why is Krishna sometimes surprised also when he knows everything? It's like in the Leela of Agasura, when all the cowherd boys went walking into the Agasura's mouth, Krishna became momentarily aggrieved. He became bewildered. What's happening? He could have remembered that he could have known I'm going to save all of them, there's nothing to worry about, but he became devastated, momentarily devastated by this situation with all his cowherd boys being swallowed by this big demon. So how is that possible that he could become aggrieved at his swallowed cowherd boyfriends? At the same time, perfectly know that he would be rescuing them very shortly thereafter. And the answer is, this is Leela of Krishna. For Krishna's pleasure, he sometimes forgets and becomes like an ordinary person. So this is Krishna's own pleasure pastimes, actually. To be surprised and amazed at what he actually already would know because he's the supreme knower. So this is his own pleasure pastimes. That's the answer. Yeah. It's for his own enjoyment he does such things. He's the supreme enjoyer. And maybe one more question. Yeah.
Is it possible to call Yoga Maya to this Leela?
The Leelas are going, the Yoga Maya is acting in Goloka Vrindavan. And sometimes Krishna.
With Krishna. With Arjuna and Krishna. With this example.
Arjuna and Krishna.
Yoga Maya put that.
Yeah, well, Arjuna is under, he appears to be under Mahamaya, but it's because he's a pure devotee, it's actually a Yoga Maya. He's acting as someone under the influence of Mahamaya. But because he's the pure devotee, we can understand it's Yoga Maya in his case. He's playing the role of someone who is in Mahamaya so that we can hear the teachings of Bhagavad Gita for our benefit. Does that answer your question? Okay. So I think our time is up now. All right. So we thank you all very much for participating in this Krishna consciousness movement. Please continue to dive deeper and deeper into this nectarian ocean of Krishna consciousness. And if you do so, we guarantee you that this will be your last birth in this material world. Rajavindra Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.